B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Pei Daled. We're going to start towards approximately a third down the Omud, the last two words of the line, V'oid Omar Reb Masya. And this takes us back to the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said that if somebody's got a pain in his throat, and we assume that he's suffering from the Tzafidno illness, which starts in the mouth, but is certainly dangerous and life-threatening. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan chosh b'tzfidna. At one point, Rabbi Yochanan was suffering from this tzfidna disease. Ozal gaboda hi matranisa. He went to some noble woman. Ovdole milsa. She did something for him, some remedy, which at that point he didn't know what it was. Chamisha, on the fifth day of the week, which is Thursday. Umayla shabsa, and on Friday. Omar lo. So Rabbi Yochanan said to this woman, "B'Shabbos mai? What should I do on Shabbos if I need to be treated? And it's hard for me to come on Shabbos because I'm busy teaching and giving shiurim in the yeshiva. What should I do?" Omrale, she said to him, "Lo tzrichas. You won't need to be treated on Shabbos." Asked Rabbi Yochanan, "Im tzrichino mai? What should I do if I do need to be treated?" Omrale. So she said to him, "Ishtaba li dulei megalis. Swear to me that you're not going to reveal the remedy to anyone." Ishtaba. So he swore. And what did he say? "Leleika di Yisrael lo megalino. To the God of Israel, to Hashem, I'm not going to reveal it." She obviously thought that he was making a shavua. He was swearing by the name of Hashem that he wasn't going to be megale. He wasn't going to reveal it to anyone. We'll soon see that was not his intention. Nofak dorsha bepirka. She told him what the remedy was. We'll soon see what it was. And he went out and he taught it to everybody in a shir. Asks the Gemara, v'hoishtaba lo. But he made a shvua, he swore to her, he wasn't going to reveal it. Answers the Gemara, leilu kodi Yisroel loy megalino. When he said to her, leilu eshtaba leilu kodi Yisroel loy megalino, what he meant was, I won't reveal it to Hashem. Hola amoy, but to his people, Yisroel, megalino, I will reveal it. Asks the Gemara, v'ho'ika chilul Hashem. There's a chilul Hashem here because she thought that he made a shvua, and now she'll assume that this Rabbi Yochanan is violating the shvua, and that's a chilul Hashem. Answers the Gemara, de megalile mi'ikora, that before he went out and taught it to all the Talmidim, he told her, you should just know that the shvua that I made, this that I swore, was not really an oath not to reveal it to the public. And now the Gemara asks, "May avdele, what did she do for him? What was the remedy?" Answers the Gemara, "Omer vacha breiter of ami, meis oir, this was yeast water, shemen zayis, olive oil, umelach, and salt. These three, the potion with these three things together, that is what she gave him to remedy this illness." Rabbi Yema Omar, "Sa'ir gufei, it was the yeast itself with shemen zayis, umelach, and olive oil and salt." Ravashi Omar, "Mishcho de gadfo de avza," that this remedy consisted of some fat of the goose's wings. Says the Gemara, "Omar Abaya, ana avdi lekulhu. I was suffering from this tzafidna illness, and I tried all these different remedies that the Gemara mentions and assumes that this woman told Rabbi Yochanan, v'lo yistasoi, and I did not cure me. Ad de omer liyahu taya, until some Arab merchant mentioned to me that I se kashyasa de zesa, I should bring the pits of olives. What type of olives? De le molu tilsa, they have not yet matured and ripened a third. Ukalinu benura, and burn them in a fire, a morod chadata, on top of a new hoe, which is some tool that's used for in the fields, v'adbeik b'kochei dore, and affix the ashes to a row of your teeth. That means the row of teeth where you're feeling the pain. This is a pain that starts in the mouth. You're feeling the pain, then you should fix the ashes onto those teeth. Of the hocha, says Abaya, I did this, v'stasoi, and I was cured. Now asks the Gemara, Mimai hava, this tzafidna illness, what causes it? Answers the Gemara, Mechamime chamime dechita, that when you're eating very hot wheat bread, umishiure kasa de harasana, or the fish, the fried fish that is made called kasa de harasana, that had been left, it was shiure, it was left overnight, and if one consumes that, then it can cause this illness. Asks the Gemara, Umay Simone, what are the symptoms of this disease? Answers the Gemara, Kadrome Midi, Bekochve, Bekocheche, that when he puts something onto his teeth, V'osa Doma Mibeidori, and the blood comes out from the gums of that row of teeth, that is a symptom of this illness. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, at one point, Rabbi Yochanan, Kichosh B'tzafidna, when he was suffering from this tzafidna, Ovad Hochi, he did this remedy that this woman had told him, B'Shabbaton, he did it on Shabbos, V'itzi, and he was cured. And the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan, Heicha Ovid Hochi, how could Rabbi Yochanan have prepared this remedy if it included doing melochis that were osur min haTorah on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Shani Tzafidna, the Tzafidna illness is different, Hoyel Umaschil Bepev Agoimru Bebnei Me'ayim, since it starts in the mouth and ends in the intestines, and it's a very dangerous and life-threatening disease, and therefore, because of Pikuach Nefesh, one is allowed to engage in any activities necessary in order to preserve life. Says the Gemara, Omale Rebchia Bar Abba L'Rabbi Yochanan. Rebchia Bar Abba asked Rabbi Yochanan, Kaman, whose opinion did you follow when you were treating this ailment on Shabbos? Rabbi Yochanan clearly held it was okay to engage in this on Shabbos because he asked this woman, what should I do on Shabbos? But Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was challenging that. And Rabbi Yochanan says, come on, you want to know who I'm following? Kareb Masya ben Chorosh. I'm following a Masya ben Chorosh. The Omar, HaChoshesh Bepiv, Matilin Loisam B'Shabbos. As we saw in the Mishnah, that if somebody's got a pain in his mouth, you're allowed to put medicine into his mouth on Shabbos. And the question is, why are you following Ramasya ben Chorosh rather than the Chachomim? The Chachomim say, you're not allowed to put this medicine into his mouth on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Omale Rabbi Yochanan answered to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Shani Oimer Bezu V'loi Ba'acheres. That regarding putting medicine with a person who's got an illness in his mouth, over there, the Chachomim actually agree to Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh, and they only argue on a different case. And if you actually look in the Mishnah, it's very interesting. The Mishnah says that if somebody's bitten by a mad dog, then the Chachomim say, "Ein machilin oisei michatzar kovid sheloi," that you're not allowed to give this person to eat the chatzar kovid of this dog. Reb Masya ben Chorosh matir, and Reb Masya ben Chorosh says it was okay. There's clearly a machlokes there. Va'oyed omer Reb Masya ben Chorosh, and then the Mishnah says that there's another thing that Reb Masya ben Chorosh said, and that is achoshesh b'groino. If somebody's got pain in his throat or in his mouth, matilin leisam b'tzeich piv b'Shabbos, you're allowed to give him medicine on Shabbos, mipnei shu sofik nefoshes, because there's a possible danger to life. And over there, we don't find that the Chachomim argued. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I hold that the Chachomim agreed with Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh regarding the illness in the mouth. They only argued regarding being bitten by a mad dog. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan answered back to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Leima Maseyele, we're now going to bring proof, a brisa that seems to support what Rabbi Yochanan just said now, that regarding putting a medicine in the mouth, there's no machlekas, and the Chachomim agreed to Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh that it's mutter. Because we saw in the brisa, Misha Ochzo Yerokin, if somebody was suddenly seized with this illness called Yerokin, some say it's jaundice, Machilin Oisei Besar Chamor, one's allowed to feed him with the meat of a donkey, even though a donkey is not a kosher animal, since it's a life-threatening disease and illness, you're allowed to feed it to him. Misha Neshochi Kelev Shaita. Somebody was bitten by a mad dog, Machilin Oisei Michatzar Kovid Shiloi, you're allowed to feed him from the liver lobe of that dog. And somebody who has a pain in his mouth, matilin leisam b'Shabbos, we put medicine in his mouth on Shabbos, divrei Reb Masya ben Chorosh. These are the three halachas, the three places that Reb Masya ben Chorosh was lenient. One is Ochzo Yerokin, one is Noshchei Kelev Sheita, and one is Choshesh b'Piv. V'chachomim oimrim, the Chachomim answered, be'elu ein bohem mishum refuah. These, we'll soon see which ones, that they have no therapeutic value. That means these remedies, and we have to see which one. Is it talking about the chatzar kovid, the liver lobe of the dog, or is it talking about the donkey's meat for the jaundice, or is it talking about putting medicine in the mouth? We'll soon see. But the Chachomim said that at least some of these on Reb Masya ben Chorosh's list actually are not therapeutic, they do not heal, and therefore one is not allowed to override the halachas of the Torah when engaging in these types of medicine. Asks the Gemara, Be'elu lim'utei mai, when the Chachomim said that these are not considered as good enough and proven enough medicines to allow you to override some isurim, which is those referring to? My love, can we not assume lemu'utei sam, that it's only some of these, it's only two of these, namely the liver lobe of the dog and the donkey's and the donkey's meat. However, regarding the medicine in the mouth for the person who has the illness, over there the Chachomim do agree with Rav Masih ben Chorosh. And if so, we'd have proof from here that, like what Rabbi Yochanan said, that there's no machlokes. Says the Gemara, no. Loi. It could be that in all these three, the Chachomim say that it's not good enough. And then the question comes back on Rabbi Yochanan, who are you following? Why are you following Rabbi Masih ben Chorosh if the Chachomim argue with him? But when it says, when the Chachomim said, Be'elu, these three things, all three of these are not considered as stable enough medicine to be allowed to override halachas, they're coming to exclude a fourth case, a fourth type of remedy, that over there the Chachomim agree that it is okay. What would that be? Lemute makizin dam lisroinchi. There's this illness called sroinchi, and Rav Masih ben Chorosh held that the remedy for that is to be makiz dam, to let blood. And over there, in that case, the Chachomim agreed with the Masih ben Chorosh. However, regarding the three that we mentioned before, in all three they didn't agree. And the Gemara is now going to try and prove exactly this point. Hochanami mistabra, it's reasonable and logical that this is the case. The Tanya we learnt in another brisa. Shloisha dvorim omer bishmol b'ribyesi sheshoma mishum Rav Masih ben Chorosh. Three things Rav Shmuel b'ribyesi said in the name of Rav Masih ben Chorosh. Number one, Mekizin Dam L'Sroinchi B'Shabbos. As we just saw, Rav Masih ben Chorosh holds that for a person suffering from this Sroinchi disease, one's allowed to let blood, even on Shabbos. Umi Shenoshchi Kelev Shoita, and somebody was bitten by a mad dog, Machilin Oisei Michatzar Kovid Shaloi. As we've seen, one's allowed to feed this person with the liver lobe of that dog, who, if he'd been bitten by this mad dog. And somebody who has a pain in his mouth, matilin leisam b'Shabbos, you're allowed to put medicine in his mouth on Shabbos. And the Chachomim say, be'elu ein ben mishum refuah. We disagree with you, Rav Masih ben Chorosh, and we say that in these, at least some of them, they're not considered as medicine, and therefore you're not allowed to override any halachas. And the Gemara is now saying, be'elu, when they say that these are not considered medicine, lemu'utei mai, which ones do you argue with the Masih ben Chorosh, and which ones do you agree? My love, can we not take it for granted that atarta basraisa, it's the last two that are mentioned here, which is the liver lobe of the mad dog and the medicine for the person with a mouth disease, that in those two, the Chachomim say that we don't agree with you, Rav Masih ben Chorosh. Ulimute Dereisha, and all they're excluding the letting of blood for the Sroinchi disease, that over there they agree with Rav Masih ben Chorosh that it's okay. And this is exactly like we saw before, that regarding putting medicine on the mouth, the Chachomim say it's not okay. And regarding letting blood, it is okay. And then we're back to the question with Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to putting medicine on the mouth disease on Shabbos, who said you're allowed to do that? Rav Masih ben Chorosh, why are you following Rav Masih ben Chorosh over the Chachomim? Answers the Gemara, Loi, you don't have any proof from this brisa, because it could well be that Atarata Dereisha Kamaisa. It could be that the Chachomim, what they meant to say is that when it comes to letting blood, there they now disagree with Rav Masih ben Chorosh. When it comes to eating the liver lobe of this mad dog, there they argue with Rav Masih ben Chorosh. But when it comes to putting on medicine in the mouth, there they agree with Rav Masih ben Chorosh. So at least from this brisa, you wouldn't have any proof. So either way, we don't really have any solid proof one way or another from these brisas what the Chachomim held regarding putting medicine in the mouth for somebody who's got this disease. Says the Gemara Toshma, we're going to try and prove it from elsewhere. The Tani Rabba Shmuel Rabba Shmuel taught the following brisa. Ubra Shehiricha, a pregnant woman that smelled some food or drink on Yom Kippur and was absolutely craving this, and somebody who's craving to this extent and one doesn't satisfy that craving, it can be life-threatening. Machilin Oisa, we give her to eat, Achatosh of Nafsha, until she relaxes and calms down and feels relieved. Umishan shochi kelev shoito, somebody who's bitten by a mad dog, machilinoisi michatzar kovit shiloi, we feed him from the liver lobe of this dog. Vachishish bepiv, and somebody who's got a pain in his mouth, matilinoisam bashabbos, we put medicine in his mouth, even on Shabbos. Divi rebelezib rebyesi shomam rishum reb masi ben chorosh. Again, these three were said in the name of Reb Masi ben Chorosh. Vachachomim oimrim, vachachomim say, bezu, we agree with you, with this one. And not with another one. Says the Gemara, Bezu, ahai, which of these three do the Chachomim agree with? He said three things. He's talking here about this woman that was Hiricha on Yom Kippur, that Machilinoisa, till she relaxes. We're talking about the liver lobe of the dog, and we're talking about the medicine in his mouth. Which one of these three do the Chachomim agree with Reb Masi ben Chorosh that it is a reliable medicine and it can override the halachas? Ilema ubra, can it be that when the Chachomim say bazu that we agree with you, it means the first case? No, it can't be. Pshita. It's taken for granted that nobody argues with that first halacha that was said in the name of Reb Masi ben Chorosh. Ubra mi ikalaman de omar deloy? Does anybody in the world say that this woman is not allowed to be fed on Yom Kippur? If you look in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, it says explicitly, and it doesn't say it's only Reb Masi ben Chorosh, it says it there explicitly, that a ubra shehiricha, you're allowed to feed her. And to say that they agree with Reb Masi ben Chorosh regarding the liver lobe of the dog, that certainly can't be, because in our Mishnah we saw explicitly before that the Mishnah says that the Chachomim argued with Reb Masi ben Chorosh on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, and they said that in machilinoise michatzar kovid shaloi. So they're certainly not agreeing with that. So you're left with no other choice. Elulav, it must be asam, is talking about the medicine in the mouth of somebody who's got this illness. Shmaminov, from here we see that the Chachomim agreed to Reb Masi ben Chorosh that you're allowed to put this medicine, apply this medicine on Shabbos. And indeed, Reb Yechanan was following not only Reb Masi ben Chorosh, but even the Chachomim. Ravash Yoma. Rav Ashi says, Masnisin Nami Daika, and we mentioned this before. If you look carefully in our Mishnah, it would seem that way as well. Because the Mishnah says, V'oid Omer Masya ben Chorosh, another thing that Masya ben Chorosh said was that Hachoshish Bepiv, somebody who's got this pain in his mouth, Matilin Leisam B'Shabbos, you're allowed to put medicine in his mouth on Shabbos. V'loi Pligi Rabbonon Alei, we don't find there that the Chachomim argued with the Masya ben Chorosh, as we see they argued regarding the liver lobe of that mad dog. And if it was true that the Chachamim argued with Reb Masi ben Chorosh not only regarding the liver lobe of the mad dog, but also regarding the medicine for the mouth disease, then the Mishnah should have put the two together. The Mishnah should have combined the two things together, taught them together, and said that Reb Masi ben Chorosh allows people to use the liver lobe of a mad dog and allows medicine to be applied for the mouth disease, and then to say at the end, the Chachomim argue with both of those. From the fact that it doesn't say like that in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah just says that they're arguing regarding the liver lobe of the mad dog, and then just mentions Reb Masi ben Chorosh allowing them to use medicine in the mouth on Shabbos, without mentioning the Chachomim argue, Shema Mino, you see from the Mishnah, that the Chachomim agree with Reb Masi ben Chorosh that one is allowed to put this medicine into the mouth on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the reason that you're allowed to put the medicine in the mouth on Shabbos is mipnei shesofik nefoshesu, because it's maybe not a 100% guarantee that this person is going to die otherwise, but it's certainly a sofik, certainly a possibility that this person's life is at risk, and therefore we can override Shabbos. And what does the Mishnah say after that? V'chol sofik nefoshes doiches haShabbos. It wasn't enough to say that Sofik Nefoshesu, it adds on that Sofik Nefoshes overrides Shabbos. The question is, Lomos li sula meimar v'chol Sofik Nefoshes doiches haShabbos? Why do we need to add on these extra words in the Mishnah? The fact that it says, mipnei shesofik nefoshesu, that the reason he's allowed to take the medicine on Shabbos is because there's a possible danger to life, it says it all. That it's already included and incorporated in those words that Sofik Nefoshes is Doicha Shabbos. Why do you have to explicitly mention it in the Mishnah? Omer Yud Omer Rav, Loi Sofik Shabbos Zu Bilvad Omru. What the Mishnah in the second half of the statement is trying to impress on us is that, of course, if there's a at least a possibility of danger to life this Shabbos, then you're allowed to override this Shabbos. But what happens if there's no risk whatsoever that he's going to die this Shabbos? The question is he going to die next Shabbos? And it may not necessarily be next Shabbos, but next week or week and a half's time, he's going to die at a later point. But there's no risk of him actually dying this Shabbos. So do we say that we are allowed to override this Shabbos to try and preserve his life that will be at risk later on? Elo afilu sofik Shabbos acheres. That's what the Mishnah is trying to impress on us. V'chol sofik nefoshos doiches haShabbos. That this Shabbos gets overwritten when there's any type of possibility, even if the chances of him dying are only going to be later, not on this Shabbos. Nonetheless, we're allowed to override this Shabbos to preserve his life. And now the Gemara explains, Heichadomi, what type of case would this be? Says the Gemara, Kegoin de'amdua l'tmanyo yoyma. If the doctors say that this person needs to have medicine for 8 days, v'yoyma kama shabsa, and the first day is a Shabbos. Ma'u de'tema, I might have thought, li'akiv ad l'urta, he should wait until the evening, until Matzah Shabbos, to start treating him, ki heicha de'lo neichel oleo tre shabsa, that in order to avoid having to be mecharal two Shabbosos, just wait till Matzah Shabbos and then start the treatment. Kumash Malon, that's what the Mishnah is trying to impress on us, that no, since delaying giving him the treatment could hurt him at some point and could be life-threatening at some point, therefore, already this Shabbos, the first Shabbos, the first possible opportunity, start giving him the treatment, even though it means that in the big picture you will have broken two Shabbosos. That's what you have to do to preserve life. Tanya Namihochi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Mechamin l'choyle b'Shabbos. One's allowed to heat up water for a sick person on Shabbos. Bein l'ashkoisoy, either to give it to him to drink, bein l'havroisoy, or to bathe him with it, if that's going to be therapeutic and help him survive. Lo Shabbazu bilvad omru. Not only if it's to stop him dying this Shabbos, elo l'Shabbos acheres, but even if there's only a possibility that he's going to die another Shabbos sometime later on, nonetheless you're allowed to break and override this Shabbos to help him stay safe later on. Ve'einoimrim, we don't say namtin loy, let's wait till after Shabbos to heat up the water, maybe in the meantime Shemo Yavri, he's going to become healthy in the meantime, and then we won't have to have broken Shabbos. Elo mechamin lo miyad, we immediately heat up the water for him. Mipnei sofik nefoshes lahok, sofik nefoshes deiches haShabbos, because any possible risk and danger to life overrides the halachas of Shabbos. Even though it seems to be a chance that maybe he would be cured and without needing to break Shabbos. No, we don't take that risk. It's a sofik, and you're allowed to override Shabbos. And the Braisa continues, Ve'ein oisin dvorim alolu, loy al yedei nochrim, that for somebody who has to override the halachas of Shabbos and engage in doing melachas, which are normally isur min ha-Torah, in order to preserve life, you don't say, I'll get a goy to do it, v'loy al yedei kutim, or through the kutim, which also have the status of a goy, others have a version, ktanim, with minors, no. Elo al yedei gedoyle Yisrael, which some say it means adults in Yisrael, others say it means leaders and very prominent people in Klal Yisrael, because we want to impress on people, we're preserving life. Preserving life, you don't cut corners, you don't try and get other people to do it, you take the people who have the most feeling for life, not the children and not the goyim. Just find healthy, mature adults, and they are the ones that should break the Shabbos in order to preserve this person's life. However, if the only people who say that this sick person needs these remedies are women, or it's kutim, then we don't follow them. You're only allowed to break Shabbos to preserve life if a regular adult has said that, an adult in Klal Yisrael has said that this person actually needs these remedies and is in danger otherwise. However, if you've got three men that say that he needs this medicine and two men who say he doesn't need this medicine, and then you have a woman or a kuti that says that they does need the medicine, we do combine the woman's opinion or the kuti's opinion to the other men's opinion in order to make it 50-50, and then we say sofik nefoshes, and you're allowed to give him the remedy on Shabbos. continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Mefakhin, we attend to matters involving Pikuach Nefesh, the preservance of life, B'Shabbos on Shabbos. Which means that even if in order to preserve life, we have to override the halachas of Shabbos, that's what you have to do. V'hazor is, and somebody who's quick in order to break the Shabbos to save somebody else's life, hareza meshubach, he's praiseworthy. V'ein tzorich litol reshus mi beis din, you don't need to first get permission from a beis din that you're allowed to break the Shabbos. Ha ketzad, let's see some examples of this. Ra'o tinoik shenofa leyom, if you see a child that fell into the sea, then poireis metzuda o ma'alehu, you're allowed to spread a net and bring up the child. V'hazor is, and if you do it quickly, areza meshubach, you're praiseworthy. V'ein tzorich litol reshus mi beis din, you don't need permission from the beis din to do this. And now the Gemara says that, I don't understand, you already said, hazor is hareza meshubach, do it as quickly as you can. Why do you have to add on that you don't need permission from the beis din? Of course you don't need permission from the beis din if you have to do it as quickly as possible. Says the Gemara, v'afel gav dekot tzayid kavri, that even though this person, whilst he's saving the child, he's also going to catch some fish at the same time, and he has that intention, and he wants to catch the fish, and catching fish on Shabbos is a melacha min ha-Torah. So I may have thought in that case that there would be some restriction to him being allowed to use these nets on Shabbos. No. Do it anyway, do whatever it takes to save this child. And even if you have in mind to do another melacha at the same time, that would not be reason not to save the child. Continues the Braisa. Another case, the first case was of a child fell into the sea. The second case, Ra Tinik Shenofa Leboyer, if he saw a child fell into a pit, then Oikur Chulya, he's allowed to remove part of the rim surrounding the pit, Umaleu, and if that's going to help you bring up the child. V'hazoriz has a reza meshubach. Again, the Braisa says if you do it quickly, it's praiseworthy. V'ein tzorich litol reshus mi-beis din, and you do not need to get permission from the beis din. There must be a case where I would have thought that you do need permission, and the Braisa is impressing on us, no. Even though you're doing something else at the same time that may be an issue, don't ask questions, just save the child. And the Gemara says, what is that? Afal gavda masakin darga, even though whilst he's breaking part of the rim of the pit, he's actually creating and building a step that he can use after Shabbos, that would not be a reason for him not to save the child. Continues the Braisa, a third example, Ra'o sheninna lo delet bifnei tinoik, if you saw that a child is locked into a room, the door's locked and the child is in the room, then shavra, you're allowed to break the door umaitziyoy and bring out the child. V'azoriz adreza meshubach, because the child will be afraid, he may panic in there, it could be life-threatening. Therefore, as quickly as possible, break the door, hareza meshubach, and that's praiseworthy. And again, v'ein tzorich litol reshus mi-beis din, you don't need permission from beis din, says the Gemara, af al gav d'ko mechavein lemitbar b'shifei, even though he's not purely engaged in smashing and breaking a door, but he's going to cut them in a very specific fashion and very straight boards in order to be able to use them after Shabbos, and doing that in and of its own is a melacha on Shabbos, nonetheless, you've got to save this child, and don't stop saving the child, even though at the same time you're having intentions to do a melacha. Continues the Gemara. Another example, example 4 and 5. Mechabin, one's allowed to extinguish a fire. Umafsikin, one's allowed to block a fire from spreading by putting metal or earthenware vessels that are filled with water in the path of the fire. You're allowed to do those things on Shabbos in order to prevent the fire from spreading to a place where people who could not be otherwise removed from there, young people, sick people, frail people, old people, who are at risk if the fire spreads, you're allowed to extinguish the fire or block the fire on Shabbos. V'azor is areza meshubach, and the quicker you do it, the more praiseworthy. And again, v'ein tzorich litol reshus mi-beis din, you don't need permission. And the Gemara says, v'afar gav duko nemakeich makuchei, even though in the process of extinguishing the fire, he's flattening out the coals in order to be able to cook on them after when Shabbos is over. And this would be an issue, otherwise you're not allowed to prepare coals and make charcoals on Shabbos. However, that should not prevent you from extinguishing the fire to save the people in danger. Utsricha. And the Gemara says we need all five examples. What are the five examples? The child that fell into the sea, the child that fell into the pit, the child behind the locked door, and the fire, which involves either extinguishing or blocking the fire. Says the Gemara, Utsricha. I need them to Iyesh min on Yam. If the Braisa would have only taught us that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save the child from the sea, Mishum da'ad ha'ochi v'ochi, ozale. Because if you'd have to ask permission, in that case, by that time, the sea would have swept the child away. So there it's easier to understand. Don't ask permission. Don't get permission from a Beis Din. Just save the child. Aval boyer, but in the case of the pit, the koyosiv, that the child is sitting in one pit, in one spot. Nothing in the pit is going to suddenly take the child away. Maloy, I may have thought that you're not allowed to break Shabbos without getting specific permission. Tzricha, that's why the Braisa teaches us that no. Even in that case, don't get permission, just save the child immediately. If the Braisa would have only taught us that the boyer, then I may have thought, Mishum to Komavis, maybe in the case where the child is in the pit, he's very frightened, and that in itself is a danger. Aval nina lo deles, but if a child is behind the locked door, Efshe de Yosef Bahai Gisa, maybe this adult can sit on the other side of the door, or Meshabishle, and distract him, Bamguzi, with playing with nuts with him, and playing some game through the door with him, and that way the child will calm down and not be afraid. Tzricha, that's why the Braisa has to tell us, even in that case, that theoretically you could try and calm the child down by playing with him and distracting him from the other side of the door. No. Get the child out of there as soon as possible. And now the Gemara says, Mechabin umafsikin lomoli. Why does the Braisa have to tell us that you can extinguish the fire or block the fire on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Da'afilu lochotzer acheres. That what the Braisa is teaching us, of course, if there's a fire in over here which is endangering the people here in close proximity, of course you can extinguish the fire. But what happens if the fire is here, but the people in danger are in a different courtyard? Then I may have thought it's not so straightforward that you're allowed to extinguish the fire. That's what the Braisa is coming to tell us, that even if the risk is to people who are in a different courtyard, and should the fire spread there, it would put them in danger, that in itself is reason that you're allowed to extinguish the fire. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yosef, Omer of Yudom HaShmuel. It says in the name of Shmuel, Loi holchu pepikuach nefesh achar haroiv. We know that generally there's a rule that you follow the majority. However, when it comes to saving lives, we don't follow the majority. The case that we're about to discuss is if you've got this person who's in life-threatening danger and you're not sure whether he's a Yid or a Goy, and to be Mechal Shabbos, you're only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Yid, then even though there's a majority, there's a Roiv, that this person is not a Yid, but since there's a small chance that he is a Yisrael, we do not follow the Roiv, and you're allowed to save this person just in case and in the event that he's a Yisrael, you've saved his life. Says the Gemara, Hechadomi, in what case is Shmuel referring to? Inema, if you're going to say we're talking about a case, De'ika Tisha Yisrael, that there's a group of nine Yidden, Yisraelim. The Kuti Echod, and one Kuti that has the status of a Goy, Binayu, is amongst them. And then a building collapsed on one of these people. I don't know, did the building collapse on a Yisrael or on a Kuti? Says the Gemara, in that case, that's not where Shmuel is referring to, because Ruba Yisrael Ninu, over there there's nine Yisraelim and only one Goy. Of course, Roiv dictates that it's probably a Yisrael, and you're allowed to save him. Inami Palgo Palga. And if the group we're talking about that Shmuel was referring to is a case where it's half five Yisrael and five Goyim, five Kutim, and there Shmuel says you don't need the Roiv, of course you can save the Yisrael, there as well, I don't need Shmuel to tell us that. That's a regular case of Sofik Nefoshes Lahokel. I have a Sofik, a doubt, it's 50-50, then of course you have to be lenient, you have to try and save this person. So where does Shmuel say that loy holchu bepikuach nefesh achar roiv, that you override the concept of roiv because it's pikuach nefesh? Elo de'ika tisha kutim v'yisrael echod. We're talking about there's a group with nine goyim in it, and there's one Yisrael amongst them, and a building falls on one of the people. So even though statistically roiv would dictate that the person under the building is one of the nine goyim and not the one Yisrael, That's where Shmuel says that we don't follow Roiv, and you're allowed to try, you're allowed to even break Shabbos to save this person, to dig him out from under the ruins of this building. Asks the Gemara, Ha'nami Pshita, even in a case where you've got 9 Goyim and 1 Yisrael, and a building fell on one of them, I don't need Shmuel to tell us that there's a Chiddush by Pikuach Nefesh. To have a lei kavua, since the victim is in place, that means the group is where they were. There was a group standing there, and there were 9 goyim and 1 yisrael. Then, just because there were 9 goyim there, that doesn't necessarily mean that the building chose one of the 9 over the yisrael. That's called kol kavua. Anything that's fixed. When you're talking about something which is porush, something that was separated from wherever it was. For example, if you had 9 shops that sell treif and 1 shop that sells kosher, and somebody went and took a piece of meat, or more accurately, not somebody went, you found a piece of meat outside the shops, then you can say, statistically speaking, it probably came from the shops, which are the majority, not the minority. But if you go into a shop, and then you don't know afterwards which shop what did I choose to go into, just because there are more shops like this than like that doesn't mean that that's the shop I probably went into. That's the rule which is discussed more at length elsewhere in Shas, that kol kavua, anything which is fixed and something happens, like the meat that was fixed inside the shop and somebody, I went in and took the meat out and now I don't remember where did I go to, since the meat was there, I went to the meat, then it doesn't matter how many shops were kosher or not kosher, we say it's 50-50. We perceive it as 50-50, it's learnt out from Psukim. However, when it's porush, once it's separated, and now you have to determine, did it probably come from this shop or from that shop, then we say that statistically it probably came from the majority. Over here, you had the whole group that were fixed. 9 goyim, 1 yisrael. Now a building collapsed on one of them. So that's called kol kavua. They're in their place, in their fixed place. And the rule is kol kavua kemechtz al mechtz domi. If it's in its place, then the probability is 50-50 that it fell on the yisrael or the goy. And therefore, once it's 50-50, I don't need Shmuel to say that we don't follow Roiv. You have a regular sofik nefoshos. Whenever you have a doubt regarding nefoshes, regarding pikuach nefesh, you always have to be mekel. That's not Shmuel's halacha that we override the majority. Says the Gemara Loi. Tzricha, where we need Shmuel's halacha is the porush. You had this group of 9 goyim and 1 yisrael, but they were the porush lechotza acheres. They went away from their fixed place and they went into a different courtyard. They went away from where they were. Since they went away, it has the halachas, the rules of porush. And once it's porush, kol de porush, meruba porush. Mao de te ma'ay may have used this, the old rule of kol de porush, anything which is separated from where it was at first. Meruba porush, we assume that it's separated from the majority. And here, since these people were separated from where they were initially, then we say that the building probably fell on the roiv, which is a goy, not on the one Yisrael. Komash Malon, that's what Shmuel was telling us. Teloi holchu bepikuach nefesh acha roiv. We do not follow the majority when it comes to saving life, and you're allowed to try and save this person just in case it was the Yisrael. Now, these are very long and complicated sugyas in the Poskim, in other places in Shas. Since this is not the main place where this is the topic here, therefore we're not going to go into this more. This is a basic reading of the Gemara. But the Gemara is now asking, Eini, is it really true that Shmuel says that when you have 9 goyim and 1 Yisrael in a group, and then they became a status of porosh, they separated themselves from where they were and went elsewhere. In that case, by pikuach nefesh, are you suggesting that you don't follow the roiv? Was it not said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon that Tisha Kutim v'Yisrael Echod, exactly a case we're discussing, you have a group with 9 goyim and 1 Yisrael in it, and they were together in this courtyard, and then a building collapsed on one of the people, then if they collapsed in the courtyard where they were fixed at the beginning, Mefakhim, you're allowed to clear away the building, the rubble, and try and save the person. B'chotzer acheres, however, in a different courtyard, ein mafakhim, over there, it's not anymore, they were not where they were fixed initially, and in that case, we say kol deporosh meruba porosh, and the building probably fell on the person that, on one of the goyim, because statistically, the people that were in that group and separated themselves and came into this second courtyard, they are statistically, the building fell on the goy, not on the Yisrael. And this seems to contradict what Shmuel said, that in this very case, Shmuel was mechadish, he was telling us, you don't follow Roiv, and you are allowed to save this Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha, there's a difference. Even when it comes to Porosh, from separating from their initial fixed state, there's a difference. Hard the Porosh Kulhu. When Shmuel said that you're allowed to clear away the building and try and save the person, that's talking about when all the people left the original courtyard, and that means that we know on a 100% level that the Yisrael at one point was in this second chotzer. In that case, then even though we say kol de porosh meruba porosh, but we say that pipikuach nefesh, you don't follow Roiv, since we know that there certainly was a Yisrael in this courtyard. But when Rabbi Yechanan said that you don't follow, you don't say this, and you do follow the Roiv, and you say kol de porosh meruba porosh, and we assume the building fell on a goy, and you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, hard a porosh miktsasayu. But Rabbi Yechanan was talking about when only some of the original group went into the second chotzer. So you never had an indication that there definitely was a Yisrael in that chotzer at any point. And since you don't have 100% knowledge that there was a Yisrael there, and we say that those that separated themselves called a porosh meruba porosh, in that case, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save the person under the collapsed building. And now the Gemara is asking, Umi Omar Shmuel Hochi? Did Shmuel really say that when it comes to saving lives, you don't follow the majority? Votnan, this seems to contradict what we learned in the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Motzo bo tinoik mushlach. If you had a place, a city, where there were also Yidden living there, and also Kutim, also Goyim living there, and you found an abandoned child in the city. So the halach is as follows, says the Mishnah. Im roiv Kutim, if the majority of the people living in the city are Goyim, Kuti, then we assume that the status of this child is that of a Goy. V'im roiv Yisrael, if the majority of the people in the city are Yisrael, or Yidden Yisrael, then we assume this child to be Yisrael. Mechza al Mechza, if it's exactly 50-50, then Yisrael, he has the status of a Yisrael. V'omar Rav, and Rav said that when do we say that if there's a majority of Yisrael living in the city, that it has the status of, that this child has the status of Yisrael, elo lachyosei, it's only regarding to sustain him. There's a mitzvah to sustain another Yisrael, and this certainly includes saving him from death. Since there's a majority of Yisrael there, then obviously we have to assume that this child may be Yisrael, you can save him. Avali yachsoi, but regarding yichus, when we want to know, can we assume that this child is a miyuchas, that his ancestry, his lineage to him is pure, and the difference would be if it's a girl, is she allowed to marry a goy, even if she did afterwards a conversion, but a goy is not allowed to marry such a person. So when it comes to yichus, loy, even if the majority are Yisrael, then the status of this child is not like a Yisrael, and that's to do with the Maila Osu B'Yuchsin, and it's discussed elsewhere in Shas, that when it comes to Yichus, we are much more stringent. And we'll learn more about this in Ksubas Daf Tezvov. So that's what Rav said. Shmuel Omar. Shmuel commented on this Mishnah, and Shmuel said, and at this point we assume that Shmuel is also talking about the case when Roiv Yisrael has the halacha of a Yisrael, that Shmuel said, Lefakeach olav esagal, that if it's most Yisrael in the town, then you're allowed to clear away a collapsed building that fell on top of this child on Shabbos, because we assume, since it's Roiv Yisrael, that he's a Yisrael and you have to save his life. So what do we see from here? That the only reason you're allowed to save his life is because we assume there was a Roiv Yisrael. This seems to contradict what Shmuel said before, that when it comes to saving lives, you don't say that it's easy. We don't say that you follow the Roiv. Answers the Gemara, no, you misunderstood what Shmuel was saying. What Shmuel was saying, Ki Itmar de Shmuel, Aresha Itmar. Shmuel was commenting on the first of the three statements in this Mishnah. The Mishnah first said, Roiv Kutim Kuti, and then Roiv Yisrael Yisrael, and then Mechtzal Mechtza Yisrael. Shmuel was commenting on the first statement. It says, Roiv Kutim, if the majority of the people in the city are Goyim. Kuti, this child has the status of a Goy. And that's what Shmuel was saying. Oma Shmuel, ule'inyan pikuach nefesh einoi kein. But it's not so regarding saving lives. Regarding saving lives, even if the majority of the people in the city are Goyim, since there's a minority chance that this child is a Yisrael, you're allowed to save his life. And this is completely congruent with what Shmuel himself said before, that when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we do not follow Roiv. So now the Gemara is asking that if, according to Shmuel, Roiv Kutim Kuti, that he has the status of a Goy because most of the people in the town are Goyim, it's not talking about saving his life, because according to Shmuel, you save his life even in this case. So regarding which halachas has this child got the status of a Kuti? Im Roiv Kutim Kuti Lemay Hilchasa. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us, that if since most of the people in the city are Goyim, the child has the status of a Goy? Omer of Papa Rav Papa says, L'chiloi Nevelus. Are you allowed to feed this child, this person, with Nevelus, which is with Trefa food? So Shmuel will say, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Roiv Kutim Kuti. He's got the status of a Goy, at least until he becomes an adult and chooses to do a conversion, at least L'chumra, but all the while that he's a child, you're allowed to feed him Nevelos, and we assume that he's a Goy. And now the Gemara says, Im Roiv Yisroel, Yisroel L'may Hilchasa. Till now, Rav assumed that when we say Roiv Yisroel is Yisroel, that is regarding L'ach Yosei, as we saw before, to sustain him, to make sure that he stays alive. But now that Shmuel says you're even allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save somebody when it's Roiv Kutim, then of course the Chiyuv L'ach Yosei is also even by Roiv Kutim. Then it's regarding eating Nevelos, you can feed him Nevelos. But regarding sustaining him and keeping him alive, then he has the status of Yisrael. I don't need a Roiv Yisrael for that. If so, when the Mishnah says Roiv Yisrael is Yisrael, regarding which halacha is that coming to impress on us? Answers the Gemara, L'chzir eloi avidosi. We know that the chiyuv of hashavas aveda, returning lost property, is only to Yisrael, not to a goy. So if this town, this city has 50-50, then we say the child may well be a goy, we don't know. And if you find his aveda, you don't need to give it back to him. You can say to him, prove to me that you're a Yisrael, and I'll give it back to you. However, if there's Roiv Yisrael, if the majority of the people there are Yisrael, then we have to assume that this child is Yisrael regarding Hashavas aveda, and you have to give him back the aveda. Continues the Gemara, Mechtza al Mechtza Yisrael L'may Hilchasa. When it says that if it's 50-50, then we assume that he's a Yisrael, what would that be teaching us? What's the halacha there? And you can't say that it's teaching us that you're not allowed to give him Nevelos, because we already said before that the only time you're allowed to give him a Nevelos if it's Roiv Kutim, if the majority are Goyim. And we can understand from that, from the fact that it says Roiv Kutim Kuti, and we said it, that's to teach us about Nevelos, we automatically know that if it's not Roiv Kutim, it's just 50-50, you cannot give him Nevelos. If so, when the Mishnah says Mechtzal Mechtza Yisrael, which halacha is that coming to impress on us? Omer Shlokish L'Nezikin. We'll soon see what that means, but there's certain halachas of damages of Nezikin where there's a difference between the halachas of a Goy and the halachas of a Yisrael, and the Mishnah is coming to impress on us that even if it's just 50-50, he has the status of a Yisrael regarding Nezikin. Now, before we see how the Gemara teaches us this case, let's just a short introduction. If a Goy's animal damages the animal of a Yisrael, the Goy always has to pay the Nezek Sholim for the full damages. It doesn't matter whether this ox that gored and caused damage, it doesn't matter if he was a tam or if he was a muad, whether it's the first or he's hardly ever done this before, or whether he's called a shor muad, which means that he's an ox that is used to goring, it doesn't matter. A goy's animal that gores, a Yisrael's animal has to pay the whole damage. However, if a Yisrael's animal gores a goy's animal, he doesn't need to pay anything. If a Yisrael's animal gores another Yisrael's animal, then if the animal that caused the damage was a tam, that means it hasn't happened three times, then you only pay half the damages. Chetzi nezek. If he's a mu'ad, if he's somebody who's already got the habits of goring, then he has to pay nezek sholim, he has to pay the entire damages. Those are the rules. Now, regarding some of this, we say that if this person was found in a city that was 50-50, 50% Yisraelim, 50% Goyim, the Mishnah says, Mechza al Mechza Yisrael, he's a Yisrael regarding one of these halachas of Nezikin, of damages. And now the Gemara is going to try and understand when and what. Hey Chadomi, what's the case? Inema, are we going to say, Denokhe Toiro Didon, Le Toiro Diday? If one of the, an ox belonging to Yisrael, gored the ox of this child. Now, in the event that this child is a goy, we said that if a Yisrael's ox gores the animal of a goy, you don't pay anything. So over here, it's 50-50. Why should we say he has the status of Yisrael and you have to pay him either chetzi nezek or nezek sholim? Just say to him, naisi raiv an ishkel. First, prove that you're a Yisrael. It's 50-50. Prove that you're a Yisrael, and then you can come and collect your money. That means regarding taking money from the Yisrael who owns the ox that gored, he can say to them, as far as I'm concerned, you're a goy until you can prove otherwise. Says the Gemara, lo yitzricha. I'll tell you what the Mishnah means, that mechza al mechza Yisrael, that regarding Nezikin. Denokhe toira di dei, le toira di don. When his ox, the ox of this person, gores the ox of a regular Yisrael. So now if... let's assume that this ox is a shoyer tam. He hasn't done it often. So if he would be Yisrael, he pays only chetzi nezek. If he's a goy, he pays nezek sholem. He pays the whole thing. So palga yoivle. Half he definitely has to pay, because whichever way round you hold it, you have to pay half. Idoch palga, the other half, that he only pays if he's a goy, namely, he can say to the person whose ox was hurt, I seraya delav Yisrael ano, first prove that I'm not a Yisrael, that I'm a goy, ushkoil, and then I'll give you the other half. In the meantime, mechza al mechza Yisrael, he can say, it's 50-50. As far as I'm concerned, I may well be a Yisrael. If I'm a Yisrael, then a sheretam only pays chatzi nezek. I don't need to pay you more than chatzi nezek. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.